This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Good evening and welcome to Hooked, Joy 94.9's program about addiction. Research shows that the LGBTI community has addiction problems of at least twice that of the general population, and we want to explore why and how this has come about. There are many suffering addiction, many more that are affected by those in active addiction, and people that are grateful in recovery. My name is David.
Hi, everybody. My name is Russ. What are some of the reasons behind this problem? Are there pathways towards recovery and change? How does addiction affect loved ones, family members, and partners of those in active addiction? Now, Dave and I aren't experts in this field, but we're a couple of friends who both happen to be in recovery together. We believe that there needs to be a conversation in our community about alcohol and addiction.
And of course, if you'd like to join in that conversation, you can go to our Facebook page, which is under Hooked on Joy 94.9. If you're experiencing immediate problems or if content of this program raises issues that cause distress, you can call Lifeline on 13 11 14 or Beyond Blue on 1300 22 46 36 or go to joy.org.au/support. Hey, this is our Radiothon show tonight, Russ.
Oh, I have never been so excited in my life. Every single year, Dave, I look forward to Radiothon. This is our biggest chance to keep Joy on air for another 12 months. And really, we just have an hour to ask people for money. Now, who in their right mind doesn't want to ask people for money? This show, this radio station is bloody amazing. It is bloody amazing. And it doesn't operate on the smell of an oily rag.
No, you know that it costs $2 a minute just to keep us on air. So that's $120 per hour.
Okay, well, you take all the gold coins out of your pocket. I'll take them out of my pocket. And I reckon we can be on air for an hour tonight with what we've got. And we're going to donate that money to Joy tonight because we want to stay on air forever.
Hey, you know you need to renew your membership because it's Radiothon time. It's time for you to renew your membership.
And Anne and all of those wonderful, wonderful volunteers that work behind the scenes at Joy 94.9, they have sent me a friendly reminder, the friendliest reminder I've ever had in my life, and they have asked me to please, please renew your membership. And you know what, Dave?
Yeah.
I'm doing that right now while we're on here because I'm committed.
I know you are.
I'm a committed soul.
Some people think you should be committed, but nevertheless.
Well, I've been that as well, David. I have been that as well, and it's only because I'm allowed to be a joister and a member of Joy 94.9 that they let me out of that institution.
That's good.
It's the only reason.
So all you have to do is go to joy.org.au. Have you got that, Russ?
joy.org.au and go in there.
Yep, click on the renew membership. If you've already received an email, you can just click on the link in that email. But otherwise, go to joy.org.au, renew or take out a membership. Or, of course, you can subscribe, which is a new option where you just subscribe and pay a little bit every month. And it's just a nice way to be able to give some money to Joy to keep us on air. You can do a tax-deductible donation as well, and that's another way to support Joy because we want to keep our independent voices on air, and we want to keep shows like Hooked and all the other wonderful shows that are on Joy 94.9.
Well, you know, David, Joy is you.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, our first guest up is Steve, and he was from a rehab when he came in back in February, and we've had to pre-record Steve because he's not always available on a Tuesday night. So let's play that interview now. Yes, tonight we're joined with Steve. Now, Steve was in a rehab last time he appeared on Hooked, and that was back in February this year. Steve and Trent unfortunately isn't able to make it today, tonight. But Steve and Trent were both at a rehab. I went and picked them up, brought them into the studios at Joy 94.9 because we wanted to demyth and debunk all of the thoughts that I certainly had in my head of what a rehab is like. And they both came in and they told us all about what life is like in a rehab. Isn't that right, Russ?
Look, I know from my own personal experience For this alcoholic, I could not get sober at home by myself. I couldn't do it. I had to go into a rehab. So, Steve, was the rehab successful? How did you feel about the whole experience?
Yeah, hey, guys, thanks for having me again. So, where did we leave off? The last time I was moved to transitional housing within the same rehab. Things were going great. So, the transitional housing basically gives me the opportunity to live life as life is, with a few minor rules in place. We still follow a program here. But the big one for me is it gives me the opportunity to, I suppose, spread my wings, go home and spend a lot more time with my daughter and my family. So in that regard, it's been a great step forward.
Can I just ask you, as a matter of recap, how old are you again?
39.
So this seems to be from my experience that somewhere around about the age of 35 to 45, in that age bracket there, that most alcoholics seem to take a good hard look at themselves and think, you know, if I don't start to get my act together now, I'm going to miss out on a few things in my life. And you especially had a daughter and family who love and adore you. So this was obviously your time. You hit your rock bottom and you decided it was time for you to get sober. Is that correct?
Yeah, you summed me up in a nutshell there. My daughter is 2 years and 4 months at the moment. You know, you guys see his partner get pregnant. That's the end of my drinking road. Well, no, it wasn't.
So now does that mean that you're cured, Steve?
No, I wish that was the case, but I don't think there is any solid cure.
I don't for a minute underestimate how difficult it is getting sober. How many attempts did you have, Steve? For me, I actually have to admit that I went into rehab thinking that they were going to simply teach me how to stop drinking and that by the time I left there, I would be able to drink like a normal person. So I went in there with eyes shut. I wanted to learn how to stop for 10 days and then I was going to, hop out the front door of the rehab and miraculously I would be able to drink like a normal person. Instead, I went in there and I was introduced to Alcoholics Anonymous and a psychologist and a few other people, and I soon found out for me that abstinence was the only way. Has that been your experience as well?
Yeah, look, I'm right on the same page there. So my first, this is my fourth attempt. I went in with that sort of mindset that yeah, I do my short term stint here. It was almost like I was outsourcing the addiction. Okay, here's my addiction. Go fix it. I'll come out bang. I'm cured. I'm fixed, and I can behave like a normal person. The physical side of drinking, go through a detox, get on Valium or whatever it is. You know, physically, you know, the physical act of drinking, actual or emotional side of the addiction.
Do you feel as though that you're present now and that you're part of your family's life? I mean, it's funny what they teach you when you first get into rehab and into recovery, isn't it, Steve? That you've got to do this for yourself, and it's so true because unless you actually can get sober and you can stick to a very, very regimented regime of not drinking on a daily basis just for 24 hours each day, you're not going to get all of the pluses that come with sobriety. The pluses are obviously you get your family back, you can go and get a job, enjoy life a bit, you can run through some of the issues that you've got going on in your head, but none of this works unless you are 100% committed to the entire cycle from day one.
Oh, yeah, again, couldn't agree more. I think the big difference between this rehab and the three prior is that I'm solely doing this for myself, and it's funny, the more I do this for myself, the more I'm gaining.
Yeah, look, I've got to mention here just briefly that this is pandemic broadcasting, so if some of the sound quality is not coming through that well, we have to apologise for that because, of course, we're always broadcasting remotely at Joy 94.9 during this pandemic broadcasting period. So hopefully the line is strong enough for people to be able to hear exactly what you're saying there, Steve. Hey, I know that you're an ally because you don't identify in the LGBT or I area, but certainly as an ally of joy and an ally of our community. What does joy mean to you?
You know, joy has given me the opportunity to tell my story. I was initially really proud and chuffed to be asked to come on to the station to tell my story, but it took an even bigger turn for the best when I was able to share it live on air with a great friend of mine, Trent.
And what about joy? How does joy make your day?
I've always got joy on the radio. The mix of music is phenomenal. I can get some of the latest, some of the more classic tracks that I want to go on about Asia or anything. But the content itself is nothing like I get on commercial radio.
Of course, being an independent broadcaster, we're able to have shows like Hooked on Joy 94.9, which probably wouldn't be played on any other station. So, you know, support is really, really important, certainly for independent radio, don't you think, Russ?
I couldn't agree with you more. I think the message that we're trying to get out there isn't discussed in our community. In fact, I'm not sure it's discussed in many communities. I actually live in Richmond, very close to a certain injecting clinic, and I certainly know that there's a very negative discussion that goes on in the community in Richmond about the safe place of that injecting clinic. And the point is that I think where Joy's been very clever is to actually have a show on air where a lot of the myths can be demystified about how what people go through and where they can go to get help when they have got some sort of addiction of any kind. And it's all about discussing and talking about the issues so people can have a greater understanding. I mean, how many people in the real world still think an alcoholic is a man with a coat on, sitting in a park with a bottle of beer in a brown paper bag at, you know, 2 o'clock in the afternoon? Well, you know, that could have been me. I was probably at work with a glass of wine in my top drawer drinking at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. I didn't look anything like an alcoholic, but you know, that's why these things need to be talked about. Addiction is very, very real in this world today, and people who have addiction are experts at hiding it. And unless they want to be found out, they won't be. And it's incredible the things and the lengths that we will go to hide our addiction and the shame surrounded about having an addiction that affects so many people in so many ways. So it is very important that Joy keeps these amazing shows on air because they need to be discussed in our community. That's 100%, David.
Yeah, you're right there, Russ. So if you want to subscribe or become a member or donate to Joy 94.9, just go to joy.org.au and go to the link where you can renew your membership or take out a membership or subscribe just for a little monthly amount if you want to do that. Or, of course, you can make a donation. All donations over $2 are tax deductible. Remember that Joy is you and we are the voice of independent radio. Thank you so much, Steve, for coming on. Even the first time, it was so brave of you to do that and we were so pleased to have both you and Trent in the studio at the time. Thanks again, Steve.
No worries, guys. Thanks again for having me.
Yeah, we'll see you soon, mate.
Will do, bud. Changes. Turn the face to strange. Changes. Don't want to be a richer man. Changes. Turn the face to strange. Changes. There's going to have to be a different man.
This is Hooked on Joy 94.9.
Hey, do you remember it was only 5 years ago in April? So 5 years we've been going, we were at Joy 94.9 doing the Taste of Radio course. Now, who would have ever thought we'd end up on a award-nominated program called Hooked a few years later?
You know what made me laugh, David? You know, 5 years of happy memories, that is. That's happy memories for me. I recall the day that you rang me up and you said, you know what? How do you feel about becoming a Joycer and doing the Taste of Radio course? And I must admit that I'm a bit of a shy soul initially. When I get to know people, I do open up quite a bit. But I, with much intrepidation, I did say to you, okay, let's give this a shot and see how we go.
Well, we do have a motto. Let's do it and let's do it all.
Well, we did do it all. Because we're on Hooked, I will say that if I had still been at the height of my drinking and I was still drinking alcoholically on a daily basis, there is no way known that I would have said yes to you. I wouldn't have met you for starters because we met in recovery.
That's true.
And I would not have said to you, David Gale, this is a great idea. Let's go and do the Taste of Radio course because I would have been too bloody drunk to do it, David.
I think you will. Yeah, we're able to do a program on recovery, which is amazing in itself. We've had a really good time at Joy because we did a program together called Our House, which was about real estate and also about all sorts of tops and bottoms, if I remember, in the auction results. But it was about how we live in our LGBTI community. And we had gay suburbs on Suburb of the Week.
Gayborhood
of the Week together. I've done some other programs as well as being a newsreader. What else have you done?
Oh, goodness me, David. The list just goes on and on. I've done several versions of the Travel Show,
yeah.
The Escape Hour and the Escape Pod. And I also on the Escape Hour I got introduced to food as well as travel. So certainly worked with some amazing people: Mark Adams, Fiona Brooke, Ted Lombardo, and they were all
Stefan. What about Stefan?
Oh, Stefan, and I can't remember his French last name. It's a gorgeous French name, absolutely gorgeous. But Stefan was amazing. And just an amazing bunch of people. It's amazing when you get yourself a team on Joy, how you all click and you all work so well together with one ultimate goal. And that one ultimate goal is, as a volunteer, just to bring the best possible show you can bring to community radio, our community, the GLBTIQ community. And it just happens. I mean, it's amazing when everyone sits around that table and the planning sessions happen and all of this stuff, of course, you learn at the Taste of Radio course. What's that course called these days, Dave?
The Taste of Radio course.
Oh, it hasn't changed.
No. Hey, I've got a quick question for you. What's the opposite of addiction?
It'll be connection, David, and that's what we've got at Joy 94.9.
Well, that's exactly true. And as two people in recovery, we become more and more connected with other people, which is important for us. It's extraordinarily important for us, but also we become even more connected to our community. So if anybody's listening in and they want a bit of a connection with the community, they don't have to do the Taste of Radio course, although they're quite welcome to do that. But otherwise, you can always be connected to your community by being a member of Joy 94.9.
Look, there's been so many favourite memories of mine. I can remember I graduated from the Taste of Radio course, and
yes.
my first show was in an OB, an outside broadcast zone. I was at the St Kilda shopping centre with my headphones on, and I sort of wandered on down there. I was a member of the Escape Pod at the time, and the next minute someone had donned headphones on me, and the next minute I was on air and I was outside broadcasting, and I was thrilled. I was absolutely thrilled. And then, of course, one of my other favourite times has been on when we've done a show with you, and you and I were in your bed together doing a show. You know, you can broadcast from anywhere these days, which is absolutely amazing. David, how did you find the radio course? And you're very, very connected. I'm very proud of you, actually. I will say that on air. You're very connected to Joy. I come in and do my shows each week, and then I leave. But you have really, really committed yourself to the Joy community. You are regularly in at the studio. You do a number of shows. You do the hard yards. What have you got out of it?
Well, before I actually talk about that, one of my favourite memories at Joy 94.9 was at one of the Midsummer Carnivals. And I went along. I was a roving reporter for about 2 hours, and I went all around the Midsummer Carnival, and I talked to people and broadcasted on air live at the time, and I was just using my phone or something like that. and I went and talked to some people having a picnic. I did a little bit of a critique on their food because their food was sensational. I wish we'd had some vision to show that off on Joy 94.9 at the time. And then I went to the dog show and I talked to a couple of the people that were getting ready to compete in the dog show at Midsummer Carnival, which everybody knows about, and asked them about their dogs' dreams and hopes. Many of them at that time were hoping that their dogs would see marriage equality come into force. I also talked to some of the leaders within our community, certainly to Karen, who is in charge of Midsummer, Karen Bryant. It was great to talk to her. I think I talked to Fiona Patton and a few other people. I certainly talked to somebody from the MQFF, which is the Melbourne Queer Film Festival. It was one of my favourite days of being Joy. But one of the major things that I got out of going to the Taste of Radio course at Joy 94.9 was to be able to become connected with our community in certainly a different way than we certainly were already. And you and I, we're both in recovery. We don't go out to clubs. We don't take drugs. We don't drink and do all that sort of stuff. It's interesting that we're able to actually put something back, which is really good too.
You know what I think is the most important thing about Joy, aside from, getting message out into our community, the wonderful music, all of those different shows, and it is vital for our community that we have this radio station, but it's just the volunteers, David. That station runs on volunteers, and it is so important that we get new volunteers coming in every day. Now, you just might want to work in the mailroom, or you might want to work with Karen from finance, or you might want to work with, Scotty from wages. I don't know, but you could certainly just volunteer and do anything at Joy. You come in and sanitize the microphones for us, whatever you feel like doing. But we need people. It's a people radio station. It's a community radio station. And we need you all there. I mean, DJing may not be your thing. I mean, I like 80s music days.
Oh, yes, you certainly do. We've done some boxing days and some other New Year's days where we've played all of your soundtracks of your life. It's been amazing.
But one of those things, those pod things that they do at the end of...
I could just let you hang out to dry at the moment. They're called podcasts. Russ,
yeah, and they're amazing things, aren't they?
We have a great podcaster, Hannah. Hello, Hannah. She does an amazing job for Hooked as well. Hey, look, we're going to have to wrap it up for a moment because we've got some more guests coming up very soon. But head to joy.org.au and click on the renew your membership or subscribe or donate button, and do yourself a favour and support the radio station that supports you. Because remember that Joy is you. Now, a couple of months ago, we had Ali the pharmacist come into Joy 94.9 and we did a little bit of an update on safe scripts, and we also talked about methadone. I knew nothing about methadone.
Methadone? Well, the only thing I ever knew about methadone was when I would go into a chemist and I would see them lined up there. And you know what? I must admit at the time, I would always be thinking, well, okay, isn't that nice that they're not on the street and they're injecting heroin?
Yeah, well, that's true.
I thought, well, what an amazing program. They're actually in there. They're safely taking a substance and they're being monitored by a healthcare professional. So Ali does an amazing job over there, and I just think it's worth every dime to stop people injecting heroin unsafely with used syringes and God knows what else. It's always better to be safe than sorry in this world, as we know.
Well, I caught up with Ali just the other day at his busy pharmacist. So this is a really short segment, and it's from Ali, and he's talking about his experience at Joy 94.9. I'm here with Ali, the pharmacist, who was on Hooked earlier this year, talking about safe scripts, the opioid crisis here in Victoria, and, of course, methadone. Welcome, Ali.
Hello. How are you?
It's great to have you back here.
It's great.
And this is our Radiothon show, of course. What I wanted to ask you about is because we believe that we are you, and we want to keep independent voices on air. We've had you on Joy a couple of times. How have you found the experience?
It was very exciting for me to come and join you guys on the Joy Radio. I really enjoyed it, and I I took a lot on board. You know, it was, I think it was mutual for both of us, hopefully.
Look, in the end, you know, I believe that community radio asks questions that other radio doesn't ask. I mean, would you be talking about methadone or opiate crisis in Australia if you're on a more mainstream channel?
No, I don't think so. And we wouldn't touch the very sensitive subjects that we went over when I was with you guys last time. And I thought it was a very good opportunity for me to provide a bit of, you know, what I know. And it was good because it was an opportunity for me to, as an independent pharmacist.
So, Ali, why do you like Joy so much?
Because I believe Joy keep the independent voice on air. And it's very important nowadays that to find a channel to get the information that are not much biased. And I think Joy gives that to the listeners.
Yeah, we know that we wouldn't have been able to cover the topics that we were just talking about before on any other radio station. It is a very unique position. Are you a proud supporter of Joy 94.9?
Of course I am.
And you're also a great ally for the LGBTI community, aren't you?
Of course. Yeah, I try my best to do a little bit for the community. It's not much, but we do as much as we can. We provide health advice, medications for sexual health, and also a lot of advices and help in terms of the mental and also addictions.
We believe that everybody should become a supporter of Joy 94.9. They can do that in a number of ways. They can go to joy.org.au. Is that the sort of message that we should be giving?
Of course, definitely. Everyone should join Joy 94.9.
That's right. Thank you so much for coming on to Hook tonight during our Radiothon special.
Thank you very much for having me.
Hey there, I'm Rachel, the program director here at Joy. During this period of uncertainty, Joy has made the tough decision to broadcast most of our shows remotely. Our wonderful on-air volunteers that you love listening to are working hard to keep broadcasting from wherever they are, their kitchens, living rooms, even their wardrobes. This means you may notice some changes to the awesome sound quality that you're used to from Joy. But we know how important it is that we keep broadcasting the music and shows you love. So thanks for sticking by us. During this disruption, Joy still needs your help to stay on air. You can donate or become a member at joy.org.au and make sure you stay in touch via Joy's social media. Thank you for listening. We couldn't do it without you. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Hooked on Joy 94.9.
You're listening to Hooked on Joy 94.9, Joy 94.9's program about addiction. Last week on Hooked, we had an encore program. It was back from January last year in 2019. It was very powerful radio. It was an episode about self-harm. And tonight we welcome back here on Hooked on Joy 94.9, Tosh. How are you, Tosh?
Good, David. Yourself?
Good to have you back here on Hooked.
Now, I will say, Tosh, that you've come along right at the perfect time because Radiothon is on, and what a perfect time to have on a previous guest who can just bang on about how fabulous Joy 94.9 is. What would you do with our community radio, Tosh? You love community radio, don't you?
I don't know. I once upon a time I was on community radio myself, one of your competitors who will go nameless, but...
Thank you.
Community radio has played a massive part in my life.
Well, we're asking people to give until it hurts at the moment because it's Radiothon, because this show of ours, it's very important. We're asking the questions in our community about recovery and about addiction. And you, I will say, are a success story. And you seem to have your life back these days. What would you like to tell the listeners about how things are going with you, Tosh?
Just on that, Russ, it was an amazing episode. So if anybody hasn't heard it, certainly go to joy.org.au/hooked. If you want to look back to January last year and you can hear Tosh talk about his story. Sorry to interrupt there.
No, that's all right. Certainly, you know, life is a little different now for everyone than it was a year ago, more than a year ago. I can't believe it was January 2019 when you told me, Dave, but... You know, life's tracking just as fine as ever. Recovery is fine. I'm free in a sense from everything I said in that show still rings true, and I do encourage everybody to go listen to it, along with the rest of the back catalogue of Hooked, of course. But yeah, we just kind of move on day at a time. That this is just another challenge of which life has thrown all of us in recovery at one point or another. And we're just trying to get through as best we can. Myself at the moment, I'm enjoying really what's a little bit of a break, you know. Before all this started, my life was very busy and very full, and I loved that. But I can still take advantage of a little time to myself, time with my partner, time to just relax and kind of refocus on what's important to me in life, and get through some of the back catalogue of what I have kind of withstanding to do in my life today, which is a freeing thing. I could sit here and, you know, I've spent a lot of time in this period so far, because I got a head start on isolation thanks to a place I was working, but I, thinking about how I would have coped with this back when I was in addiction, and I had multiple addictions, of course, and the simple answer is I wouldn't have coped. For a period of time, it would have been the absolute dream come true, left alone. Nobody's even allowed to come visit me, and I just would have, I would have fallen apart. But well, we're like a month and a half in now, and you know, I couldn't guarantee that I'd even be alive. And who would know? You know, I've also spent a lot of this time worrying about people still in that exact situation. And you know, this is why a show like this is part of the reason why I came and shared my story originally, is because it's important to reach out to people now more than ever who might need support that they can't get anywhere else.
It's funny because
been clean and sober for now, Tosh.
I think it's just clocked past 2.5 years. Yeah.
Wonderful. And as we say in recovery, your life now would look nothing like your old life.
Not at all. Not at all. Completely different. Yeah.
It's funny that you mentioned one of the reasons that you came on the show was because there was nobody else that you could look to as far as hearing their story about self-harm. That was something very powerful, I thought, because you decided that you'd got through this whole problem and that nobody else was there to actually advise you, and if anybody else was struggling with that sort of thing. Does that mean that community radio has really afforded you an opportunity to be able to tell your story, whereas I doubt if there'd be any mainstream avenues for you to tell that type of tale?
There aren't many. I'm sure there are some, but certainly none where it's been appropriate, or certainly none where I've been approached. You know, some people in my life get sent my way because I have an experience with this. And that's a service I'm always happy to provide. An ear as someone who can listen, who can understand. But absolutely, community radio affords me this opportunity to be of use, because I'm sure, you know, I've sought support through all sorts of means, friends and otherwise, and met from the medical community as well. But I can't deny that when I started out on this journey, I felt like there weren't many voices around that told my story. And I thought back then, and I still think the same way, that any voice, no matter where it comes from, is incredibly important to those who are still suffering. It's a tragedy of sorts. And, well, every single case is a tragedy. But I just, you know, I remember feeling so alone in that kind of pain and loneliness and misery. And anyone who can hear my story and agree a little bit and think as a result that there's something out there for them is better, and I can't think of a better way to get this across. I do it like this and perhaps get my message across to thousands of people, who knows, or I can do it one-on-one. Both is just as valuable.
The message we like to get across on Hooked, Tosh, is the only way you can start recovery is just by simply asking another human being for help. How did you go with asking somebody for help? Clearly you did, because you're a different person now.
That's a good question. It's something it's something I actually haven't thought about for a while. It's funny, I remember having this dilemma a long time ago. I thought, you know, I'm born, very, very waspy of me. I thought I was born alone and I'll die alone. I'm on this rock and I've got to fight for myself, born with a shovel in the hand kind of thing. And it's, you know, I can't possibly ask another human being for help. I always thought that my entire life, struggled for a very long time. Now it feels so weird to think back to it because asking for help is second nature. If I struggle for something, is for something, I reach out. Some point along that line came with an understanding that, you know, came with the growth to come to understand that I'm not very good at solving my own problems. And other people, if given the opportunity, if I actually do what they tell me, might actually help. A little bit of that comes through experience, but reaching out for help that first time is very difficult, as we all know. But I reached a point where I had to. I myself personally, I got somebody else to do it for me. I gave my phone number to someone who was incredibly concerned about my well-being. Sorry, not my phone number, my mother's phone number to somebody who was incredibly concerned about my well-being because I kept my world so small, nobody really knew what was going on. And they started the ball rolling. And, you know, it's a bit like once that ball was rolling, it was impossible to be stopped. I was forced to face up to things I didn't want to face up to, but you can't roll it back. And really, I wanted that. I just was so locked in, I couldn't take that first step myself. Something inside of me said, just you trust this person at least. You trust that they will make the right decision. And insofar as advice along those lines, if you have anyone in your life you can trust, start with them. You know, if they're operating better than you are, then that starts a link, a chain. You might not like where it ends up, but it will probably, or who it ends up with, got to give it a chance because what's the worst possible outcome? In my case, the outcome was me being left on my own. It's a bit callous and it's very revisionist based on, you know, looking back at my experience. And I can't deny that pain that I felt at the time and the fear where it was going to end up. I just had to start somewhere.
I think we know these days that people who are in addiction are recovering or are in the middle of some sort of trauma that has happened at some stage in their life. And isn't it interesting, until you actually tell another human being about your addiction, you really do feel as though that you are the only person in the world that is in this hole. And nobody else could possibly understand. Nobody else has been where you've been. And then once you're actually able to share it with another person in addiction or a medical professional or anyone who is there to help, you instantly feel better, don't you?
Oh, immeasurably so. In that first instance, it might not fit. In my own experience, it didn't feel good, but it just felt like I'd lifted such a significant weight off my shoulder. Didn't have to feel good. I just felt relieved that I didn't have to carry that myself anymore. I didn't know where it was going to end up, but and that can be frightening in itself, but at least it's not what it was. But then you move on and you move forward. You're never alone. I don't think any of us have had an experience which is strictly unique, which someone in our life hasn't been able to sympathize with us in some way. We haven't been able to find someone who we can bond over a shared experience with. That's certainly my experience. There's countless people with whom I never thought I would connect with that I have so much in common with and so much to give to and take from and learn from. Certainly when I started this journey off, I was pointed by a medical professional in one particular direction because of my age. He thought I wouldn't get along with certain groups of people. It's funny now to talk about, but like, when you're starting from, when you've stripped away all the lies that you built up around yourself that surrounded that pain, which invariably seems to be part of the experience, we build up these stories around ourselves. When you're stripped away and you're left with yourself, it's just like, and your experience, you will find someone else to share that experience with or who has shared that experience with you. It still shocks me how easy it was. Honestly, as someone who never found it easy to get along with other people or to connect with other people truly, I will always be amazed at how easy it is to connect with people who understand what you've been through.
One of the themes for Joy Radiothon this year is that joy is you, which is a reflection that community radio reflects people like yourself and Russ and myself. So here are three of us in recovery at the moment, and hopefully somebody else is out there listening and either they're in recovery or they're struggling with addiction. And community radio does that, and it means that the voices that are independent can be heard on Joy 94.9. Look, it's been great having a chat and a catch up again with you, Tosh, because, you know, as I said, the episode with you talking about your self-harm and other addictions was one of our most powerful and absolutely, it was a privilege for us to have you on air at that time. So great to hear from you again. Bye.
Thank you very much.
See you, Tosh.
We want our community to be one of hope and look forward to your company next week as we continue to explore addiction on Hooked. Meanwhile, it's goodbye from Russ.
Goodbye.
It's goodbye from me, David. Goodbye.
You can find more Joycasts and show blogs. Go to joy.org.au.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.